How many of y'all know there's a place of trust where God must position us? And it doesn't come without consistency. Amen? That's an area where we're always overcoming us. Amen. We're our worst enemy. So when you look at the mirror, that's your enemy. Do you ever wonder who's in your mirror? Who's in your mirror today? If you're looking in the mirror and you see somebody wink at you, you know you're in trouble. Praise be to God. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I have a message from the Lord today. Would you turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, please? Hebrews 3. How many of you did Hebrews today?
Amen, I did.
Hebrewed, right? So you made the coffee. How many dudes made the coffee this morning? Oh, glory. Yeah, I did Hebrews today. That's good. How about Shebrews? He agreed, she brewed. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 7. Would you speak it with me, please? Because what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Amen? And faith comes by hearing. Hearing the things of God, not hearing the things of the devil. Hello? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will what?
Hear
His voice. Isn't that vitally important? Hearing the voice of God. How many know that God doesn't always speak? He's always impressing. I mean, if you look around, you can see Him speaking everywhere, you know. But things are not always through voice, are they? Amen. Everyone say, I have a voice in me. One speaker. I must discern what comes out of it. You're like an AM radio, you know. Trying to get connected. And there's one speaker. So we must discern what comes out of that speaker. In verse 8, it says, okay, so if you will hear His heart, what? In verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Why? Because if you reject that voice of God, your heart becomes hard. It's called rebellion. Rebellion is witchcraft. That means there's an influence happening, isn't there? Amen? Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is the presence of evil. For we have become partakers of Christ if. Well, you see if, that means you have a choice. It's, everyone say if is cooperation. It is the price to freedom. No cooperation, no freedom. So we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt? The word Egypt here means bondage. So He's not talking to people who are in bondage. He's talking to people who came out of bondage that are going back in. Led by Moses. Verse 17. Now, with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? That word obey also means follow, which is the same thing as believe. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief's a killer, man. It's the same thing as pride. Unbelief. inconsistencies, unbelief. You know, many people say they believe, but their actions show they don't believe. How many of y'all know God knows the intent of an individual? Every one of us will be judged by our intents. Intentions, things that are... Now, you may have good intentions, but the fruit of it stink. Amen? So that says that your intentions are really not good. Because there's a difference between a good intention and a righteous one. Good intentions are from the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. Righteousness, righteous intentions are from the tree of life. And it always produces righteousness. Anything that doesn't produce righteousness is not of God. And God never interrupts himself. Amen. Amen. Hear his voice, not the voice of the past. I want to talk about something that the Holy Spirit brought to me. He said, my people struggle with the voice of the past. It's called the voice of memory. The voice of old. Everyone say, the voice of old is the voice of memory. Hear his voice, not the voice of your past, the voice of old or the voice of the old man. It is known as the voice of flesh. Amen. It is rebellion. It is doubt. It is unbelief. There is no rest. There's no rest in that arena. When you agree with it, you cannot rest. Usually what produces anxiousness. Because anxiousness is fear. And what does it does? What does it do? What does it does? It does this. It hardens your heart. It hardens your heart. We must reject that voice, that impression, always. In John chapter 10. Oh, glorious. In verse 1, let's speak it together, please. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep what?
Hear
his voice. Sheep are submissive and obedient. Goats are rebellion. Some people choose to be a sheep in the morning and a goat in the afternoon. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by what? Name, and leads them what? Out of deception. Out of themselves. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. In other words, when you really are in that arena, the Lord is always before you. It says he goes before you. Why? Because you always, there's that communication. Your eyes are always on him. I always tell people, keep one eye on him and one eye on the devil. Too many people put their eyes on the devil, both of them, and can't tell what God's doing. Or they put their, most of them put their eyes on themselves and don't even have one eye on God or one eye on the devil. Both eyes are on themselves. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. Yet they will what? So when he brings them out of his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Everyone say follow. Because they do what? They believe. Amen. That means they obey. For they know his voice. Listen, people that don't know him, don't know his voice. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart and spirit. There's a relationship in the head and there's a relationship in the spirit. It's two different things. And it can teeter-totter. In other words, the fullness of the stature of Christ wants us to live out of the spirit, not out of the head. And he says, yet they will by no means follow the voice of the stranger. They won't follow that flesh, but will flee from it. In other words, depart from evil. Say no. They will reject it. They will say, nope. I'm not going to listen to you. For they know the voice of the strangers. You and I know the voice of the stranger. We've lived. We were born in the voice of the stranger. That voice of me, myself, and I. It's called the voice of self. It's called the voice of old. It's called the voice of memory. The voice of the shepherd. The sheep follow. The voice of the stranger. The sheep say no to. If you're truly following. That's why he said, keep me before you. David said, I always see the Lord before you. He says, okay, so if the shepherd is truly, if he's leading me and you, then we're always looking at him. We're not looking at anything else. When we get to look at ourselves, we get distracted. In Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. in 32. And Jesus was hanging on the cross. And there in verse 32 it says, there were also two other criminals, two others that were criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ and chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, so that everyone would know, this is the king of the Jews. Man, did they get ticked off. That upset the Jews, because they were actually decreeing that he was the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. Always crying out for me. But the others answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. I want you to understand something, that Jesus was in between the old man and the new one. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is the bridge between the old and the new. He put together to create one new man. Voice of old, save self. Voice of new, calls him Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus came to bring a new voice to me and you. He paid the price for a new voice. Same speaker, but a new voice. Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 1. Is everybody okay? Voice of old. Let's speak it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Is he still working in the sons of disobedience? Where do you think influence comes from? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, the old man, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind and the thoughts, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the thief was, the old man, just as the others. They were children of what? Wrath. But God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace, God's plan, you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the anointing, in the Spirit, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And for by grace, by God's plan, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? It is a gift of God. But at one time you and I were known as children of wrath. Why? Because that voice was rebellious that you and I were born with. It's called the old man. We call now the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 15. How many of y'all know that voice still influences? Every day. All the time. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 21. Let's speak it together, please. For since by man came what? Death. And by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be in all and in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die what? I die what? I die what? Daily. That means we die every decision. In other words, we deny ourselves. If, you remember that word if? If in the manner of man I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company does what? Corrupts good habits. Awake to what? Righteousness, and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and this I speak to their shame. Okay, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I want to share with you something, that you're living with evil company. And don't look at your neighbor or your spouse or hello. Your evil company is your old man. That is evil company. It carries a voice of memory. It is the voice of old. You wake up to it every day. It's constantly trying to influence you. Is everybody okay? Bad company. Bad habits. Amen? Romans chapter 7. That's the old man. And a few friends of his probably. In verse 18. 7:18. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, please. For I consider that the what? Oops, wrong one. For I know that in me, that is in my old man, my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, the old man, the presence of evil, bad company. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. In other words, he's realizing, he's going, look, man, I will to do good, I want to do good. But there's a battle within me that says, do evil. Now, I'm not saying there can't be a demon, because it can be. Amen? But I'm sharing with you that the old man is evil. It is the offspring of darkness, was born in sin. It is rebellious towards God. And it's in you all the time. It will never leave you until the day you split this earth, man. Till you're boogied right out of here. He stays. Does everybody get it? He's going where he belongs. But the new creation is going with the Lord. As long as you're, as long as you don't keep that company with that dude. Again, I find then a law that is evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, because that's my new spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my thoughts, my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is actually the law of death. So you're battling the law of life or the law of death, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my thoughts, my new man, I myself serve the law of life, law of God. But with the flesh, the old man, I serve the law of death. But see, we must begin to recognize this. One of the things that the anointing does is you get filled with the Spirit of God. It separates the old man from the new man more. His voice becomes more distant. So when a person becomes dry, the voice of the old man becomes more prevalent, more abrasive, overtaking. Flesh is the old man, voice of old, voice of memory. What happens here is our mind becomes the mind of Christ, our thoughts, our mind, when I surrender it to the Word, His will and presence of the Holy Spirit to serve the law of life. Because I have a free will, I have a choice of which one I'm going to surrender to. So when I surrender to the will of God, the voice of God, the word of God, the mind of Christ becomes dominant. But when I surrender to the will of self, the lust, the fear, the voice of the old man becomes dominant, and the fruits will show it. Amen? So one will serve life and the other one will serve death. In Romans 12. Romans 12. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Listen, we're about to enter something that's powerful.
I love it.
Let's speak verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, he's saying, get the old man and offer him as a sacrifice. Does everybody get it? Take that old man and offer him up, man. Your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility, reasonable service. And do not be what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's something to grab hold of. Our spirit becomes born again. It becomes awakened. Who knew? Amen. The old man now becomes the flesh. That's the carnal man. It's the one that loves the world. It is rebellious to the things of God. It carries the mind, the carnal mind. The soul, in other words, so our spirit becomes born again, awakened, and the soul must be renewed. Everyone say renewed.
Renewed.
With eternal memories. So it has something to compare with. Memories of truth that lives from the future. Amen? Kingdom bound. Directed by the Holy Spirit. So it can overcome. In other words, what we yield to, then we're able to overcome. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ becomes manifest. Our soul must be renewed. Your soul is your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your imaginations. Amen. Your desires and your will. Those are your soul. They have in that arena. So what happens is your soul is to be interpreting what God is saying. If it's not renewed and compared to and lining up with God's word, it cannot interpret what the Spirit is saying. So what the only thing it can do is interpret what the old man is saying. Does everybody understand? So he's saying we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Lust, worldliness, carnality, the world carries an evil mind. Amen? And you were born, and I was born with an evil mind. All of our memories, I want you to grab hold of this, all memory, all of your memories, good and evil, are stored in your soul. That's the storage unit. All memories are stored in your soul. All memories. Has everybody got this? So it's like a computer stored memories. In your soul, all your memories, everything that you go through is stored in your soul. That's why he says renew your soul. Why? So that's why you got to get filled with the Spirit of God. So that the old memories won't overtake and take dominion over the new memories. That's why we read the Word of God. That's why you speak the Word of God, because it becomes in what you speak is what you eat. That's why Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and then you'll have an eternal life. Why? Because he knew that we had to create new memories. God is always trying to create new memories in me and you of things of eternal. So then the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance out of your soul or out of your mind. But your soul is a storage for all memory, good and bad. Is everybody okay? In Genesis chapter 2. So in the scripture it says renew your mind. It actually means renew your soul. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's speak it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being known as a soul also. Now, a living being is substance to a character. So in other words, in this, when Adam was created, his spirit, soul, and body were one. They were not divided. In fact, the life of the physical body was in the spirit, not in the blood. It wasn't until they fell that it became separated. Amen? Is everybody okay? All right, let's go a little further. Verse 8. And the Lord did what? He planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. What was God going to do with Adam? Create memory. Does everybody get it? Why? Because you and I live off of memory. Our life is nothing but a memory. And when we leave this place, you won't have it anymore. Thank God. You won't have all those stupid thoughts, especially when you worship. Verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, that also represents the tree, represents spirits. Amen. So to become a living being that was a substance with a character, but it was not yet formed. Even though God created Adam, he still had not formed character. And he was going to form character by bringing memory. He had to create memory. Is everybody okay? And that's why he was putting them in the garden. That's why you and I are to be separated and sanctified, come out from among them and not touch anything unclean. Why? So God can create in me and you new memories. Memories from where? Above. Eternal memories. Things that are righteous. No longer just good and evil. What does that, let me share with you. When he begins to do that, what was he establishing in Adam? Identity. Look, he could not call him in son unless there was an identity brought forth. So he had to create memory. Identity was going to be shaped by God. Of course, he had a free will, didn't he? So with a free will to either learn and change and become more in Christ-like character with meekness, obedience, reverence, respect, humility, honesty, purity, and service. Do you want me to repeat that? So God was bringing Adam an identity of character in his image and likeness so that he would have to learn. Amen? Because learning creates memory, doesn't it? Experiences create memory. Again, we live a life of memory. God was shaping Adam's identity with the free will to learn. Every one of us has a free will to learn. He was going to impart meekness. He was shaping his character with meekness, obedience, reverence, respect, humility, honesty, and purity for service. Everybody got that? See, there's got to be a time in our life when we turn from being served and become servants or serve others. That's the purpose. You got to ask yourself, what is shaping? Now, in this area of character, it's shaping attitude, isn't it? Do you know that our attitude is everything? How your attitude is towards things. Your attitude is everything. That expresses your character. So we have to ask this question, what is shaping my character? What is shaping my attitude, I mean? Amen? Because your attitude is everything, isn't it? So, everything takes discipline. Everything takes discipline, which is authority, amen? Without discipline, you cannot have authority. Discipline is taking authority, isn't it? When you and I are disciplined, we are actually taking authority. That's what's called discipleship. That's why Jesus was discipling them. Why? Because he was allowing them to be created, renewing their souls. He was creating new memories in there and shaping the character of himself with an identity. But the enemy tries to shape another character. The old man is still fighting for its original character as a fallen nature. Attitude. Attitude is everything. And again, we'll need discipline. That's what a disciple is. What does that bring? It brings accountability. Everyone say accountability. Trust. Responsibility to a new way of life. It takes accountability, responsibility, and trust to a new way of life. Not an old way of life, but a new way of life. But you cannot, and I cannot, take on a new way of life without constantly walking away from the old. It's constant. And that old man is still there. But what's going to distance the old man from the new man is God's presence, the anointing, so that his voice becomes dimmer and hopefully eventually disintegrates. But it will only disintegrate when you and I go home. Amen. Overcoming. Listen, one of the things in Christ shaping the character in me and you, amen, and bringing a renewing in the soul and memories, new memories, so that we have things to compare with and a will to choose which one we're going to follow and obey. Amen. One of the things he's trying to always bring out from us is the final arena of making emotional decisions. Jesus never made emotional decisions. He said, I don't make any decision unless I see my Father do it first. Does everybody get it? Emotional decisions. And that's what we've got to constantly overcome, because that seems to be the most struggle thing that everyone has, is emotion. Overcoming emotional decisions of pride, offense, unforgiveness, and selfishness, especially fear. Look at, when you can teach it, amen, you can practice it. When you can practice it, you become it. So there's a three phase there, isn't it? You got to teach it, practice it, and then you become it. So you can't just teach it without practicing it. You're called a hypocrite. So we must teach it, practice it, and then become it. Why? It's shaping Christ's character in me and you. And the more and more you're shaped in his image and likeness, that identity comes. So that you're no longer fighting for you anymore. You're not living the life of self. You're not easily offended. Easily offended are people that live out of the soul, not the spirit. Oh, you don't know what they said about me. Who cares? But you don't know what... Who cares? Kill it. Grow up. Amen? That's allowing God to shape us into his image and likeness. 2 Corinthians 10. People are still holding offense and unforgiveness and bitterness and all kinds of garbage. 2 Corinthians 10, everybody cool? Verse 2, let's speak it. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the old man, the flesh. The old man, the man of the world. Verse 3, for though we walk in the physical, which is known as the flesh, in the physical seen realm, we do not war according to the flesh or the physical seen realm. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is memories of old or lies, things that you and I agreed with that place labels on us, memory lies. They bring strongholds, don't they? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, every voice, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish, in other words, put it back in place. Ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, again, bringing every voice, every thought into captivity, into the obedience of the identity of Christ and who you are. Remember, the enemy is always trying to steal your identity. So instead of becoming in an area, he exchanges identity with other things, even success. Well, that person is successful in this. Your identity is Christ, regardless of what. Amen? Why? So he can receive all the glory and honor and praise. Casting down the voice of old memories that influence lust and fear and promote disobedience. We come into a place where we are no longer self-promoters, we are God-promoters. Because the old promotes self. Amen? Again, we have to ask ourselves every day, what voice is shaping your legacy? What voice is shaping your legacy? Is it the voice of the old memories, the voice of the old man, the voice of the stranger? Or is it truly the voice of God that's shaping your destiny, your legacy, your image, your attitude, your character? We must search this all the time. Remember, your soul is the storehouse of all memory. You have a choice. Every one of us does. Matthew 3. Is everybody getting this? Amen. Matthew 3 and verse 1, please. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, turn away, for the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this he who was spoken of by the prophet of Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He was definitely peculiar. Amen. He was wild looking, man. He's probably what we'd call hippie in those days. You know? And locusts were not flying bugs. And dipped it in, no, they were nuts. That's where the cereal came from, nut and honey. So you can always think about, there's not an anointing on that cereal, okay? So don't go out and buy boxes of it. Hallelujah. And his food was nuts and honey. Was not made by Nabisco. Hallelujah. Verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree, who's he talking about? Us. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. He gave us the key. He gave us the way of escape. Man, get the anointing. Get filled with the Spirit of the living God. Get baptized and stay filled with the Spirit of God. And stop listening to the voice of old, the old man. Why? Because only that infilling, that's why he says, forsake not to assemble. Amen? Assemble, stay filled. What's that? That's a part of the abiding. Why? Because eventually, that's going to start to increase. The old man will come closer and closer. Next thing you know, you'll be fearful. You'll be worrying. You'll be running for medication instead of believing God to heal you. You'll be doing all kinds of stuff. Amen? You'll be woes and meesing. Woe is me. Oppression will come. Nobody likes me. Who cares? As long as he likes you. Amen? There's that self again. John the Baptist came before Jesus in the spirit of Elijah. We are also walking in that same spirit. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 1. Remember, Jesus paid the price to separate the old from the new. Amen? But create a new man. Luke 1 and verse 13. You know, so many times we try to figure things out and calculate certain things. And when the Spirit of God brings a revelation in that impartation so that he's creating a new memory. Amen? And in that creating of a new memory or through experience or whatever it is, he's shaping the character of Christ. So you're either allowing the Lord to shape him in you or you're allowing the enemy to. And you'll know by what comes out. That's called fruit. Not granola. Amen? Where people are nutty and fruity. But fruit, which is truth. Why? Because a person is free. No longer living by and making decisions by how you feel. It's got to stop. It's going to lead many people astray. People are going astray left and right. That's where the word itching ears come from. They will heap up, they'll have itching ears. Why? Because of how they feel. Remember, offense is nothing but an emotional decision. I got offended. So what? Amen? Does everybody get this? We got to stop living in this arena and start truly living in the Spirit of God, being connected. Remember, the enemy comes to disconnect, take your identity away, and shape himself in us. But we've got to begin to recognize these things. In Luke chapter 1, is everybody there? Verse 13. Let's speak it, please. But the angel said to him, Zacharias, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." But see, he's talking about becoming, in other words, forerunners of the return of the Lord. Does everybody get this? In the spirit of Elijah. What did he say? They didn't drink. They didn't contaminate themselves. "He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." In other words, he's not going to touch unclean things. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That's what's happening right now. That's what's happening. John the Baptist did not live out of an emotional arena. In fact, that man was abused. Of course, he was a little crazy, but praise God. He was crazy for Jesus. Amen? He was a representation of how you and I need to be now, filled with the Spirit of God and preparation for the return of the Lord. You know, when Jesus showed up, there was an exchange. John became the old man, and Jesus became the new man. And the first thing that happened to John is he went in prison. And the second thing that happened to him was he became beheaded. Why? God was telling him to stop living out of your mind, out of your soul, in the arena of emotion, but live out of the Spirit. Because I can't use or trust someone that's always making their decisions and how they feel. You will still have to be served and cannot serve. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in verse 17, I'm sorry. Let's speak that again. "He will also go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah." Now, John didn't heal anybody, did he? He didn't raise nobody from the dead. But he was in the power of Elijah. What was he doing? Drowning people. I mean, baptizing people. So they could get a new life. Amen? But he was preaching the kingdom of God and warning people about the return of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. He was preparing them. Watch this here. He says, and he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." He doubted, and he couldn't speak from that point on. The angel said, "All right, you ain't saying another stinking word, man, because I see doubt there. So you're going to have to wait till John is born, and then I'm going to let you speak." I'm sure his wife was happy for a while. Hallelujah. "Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Repentance of stubborn, hardened heart, controlled by the voice of the old. And bring a person into a new creation of a new voice, shaping the character of Christ." We are, Friday night was wonderful. And the Holy Spirit said that we are in a season of restart. 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 It's almost like saying, "I'm giving you another opportunity." Why? Might be the last one. Who knows? Things are happening rapidly. Rapidly. Season of restart. Living of a life. Always walking away from self instead of dancing and promoting self. Again, we still got to stop. We got to come out of the living out of the emotional hype. Start living out of the truth of Christ. 1 John chapter 1. Are you getting this? You know, one of the things that just takes a willful heart to search these things out. What's shaping us? Asking her, what's shaping me? What's shaping my attitude? What is shaping me? What is my fruit? And if you don't know, go ask somebody. I got one amen out of that one. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. That which was from the beginning, is everybody there? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that you may, that your joy may be full. Full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness. That darkness means rebellion, selfishness, pride, and the voice of old memory, the old man. Amen? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, hello, in pride, amen, and selfishness and rebellion and a voice of the old man, we lie and do not practice the truth. Again, teach it, practice it, become it. That's the same thing as believing, receiving, and executing. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not being practiced in us. Amen? It's not being executed. In Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You know, I mean, you can tell the spiritual battle by just looking at the government, at the political arena. You can tell the spiritual battle. So many things are being exposed. It's incredible. They're being exposed. Man, if you look up just on YouTube and see the last things that have been done in the last 26 hours, it's phenomenal what's being exposed. Phenomenal. Evil is being exposed. It's amazing how many believers still don't believe that there's a Luciferian agenda. You got a woman that's running for president who still speaks to the dead. And people don't even know it. You won't see that on the news. She gets her information from the dead. Hello. Anyways, I'm not telling you to choose. I'm just directing you to the truth. Choose right, not left, right? It's real simple. That's what Jesus chose. I want to choose exactly what He chose. Where did I say to go now? Luke 9, thank you. Don't get me carried away. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? And it happened as He was alone praying that His disciples joined Him, and He asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And they answered and said, "Some John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ of God." And He strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him what?" Oh, here we go. So there's a lot of people that want to be but not willing to be. They got all the words. If anyone desires to come after Me, he must deny the old dude and take up his cross, the sword of the Spirit, and fight so that he can follow. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or what? Lost. Yes. Romans 6. Voice of old, voice of memories. Remember, memories will shape you. So if you're living from the past, it's shaping the old man. If you're living from the future, allowing God to shape you into His image. Has everybody got it? So what's God doing? He's creating, look at even your memories, look at even your memories that are created, established by God, are still from the future, even though you got memories. Does that make sense? Why? Because it's memory imparted in you. But it's memory about staying connected in the future, not from the past. But there's memories that are attaching us to the past that are releasing emotions. That's why people react instead of respond. So if you're responding, you're responding from the future. The word says be angry, but don't sin. There's nothing wrong with being righteous anger. Amen? Just don't pick up something and hit them. Then you stepped over the line. And it was not the voice of the new, that was the voice of the old. Amen? And now, you may feel like hitting them, but you're not going to make that emotional decision, are you? Praise God. Romans 6. Did you ever say something you didn't want to? Oh, man, why did I say that? Did you ever do something you didn't want to do? Yeah. Everybody has. Everybody makes a mistake. Amen. Why? That battle's constant. It's there all the time. You're going to make a mistake. But don't justify it and reason and pet it and compromise it and try and make it an excuse. Expose it. Put it back in its place. That's called casting it down. Put it back in its place and walk away from it. Sever the emotional attachment with that voice, with that incident or whatever it is, and go forward. Amen? Don't look back. You'll turn to stone. That means hard heart. Romans 6. Snap. I guess we're going somewhere. Verse 1. Let's speak. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin and fellowship with the old man, that the plan of God or grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. That's new memories, new thoughts. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, everyone say old man, was crucified with him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's if you're dead. But if you're still allowing yourself to have fellowship with the old man, then the old man is still alive. He's to be crucified. Then there's not a distance, is there? Amen? You know, people get, you can get into a place where you are frustrated, you're drained. That means the old man's too close. Has everybody got it? He's too close. And then next thing you know, you're thinking all of these things. And the first thought is, run. Run! The thing is you can't run away from the old man. You keep a distance, amen? And the only way that distance is going to be established is not by running. He's like that, what they call the monkey on the back, you know? Can never get rid of it. It's got the long arms. The only way to keep distance is to get filled with the Spirit of God. Has everybody got it? Or all of these goofy thoughts will come. Oh, you're making me wave this game. That's called fear. You can't run from you. Not until we're all dead. Then you can leave you behind. But until then, you still be there. Glory, for he, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from what? Sin. In other words, who's sin? Presence, the old dude. He who's died to him. He doesn't have dominion. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. To be what? Dead. To be dead. Indeed, to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, and I'm going to close it. Colossians 3. Voice of memory, voice of old. Which one is shaping us? Bad enough we got to deal with demons. Amen? Well, let me tell you, your old man is always inviting demon presence. He's always trying to get demon presence. And what he does is he gets you to react so it opens the door. Because when we react, it's called sowing to the flesh. And sowing to the flesh says we reap corruption. Well, corruption doesn't come by the Spirit of God. It comes by an evil spirit. Everybody got it? So the enemy's always trying to get us to react. So when you react, the quicker you repent, you shut the door. Then you get rid of it because he probably slipped in. You might not know he's there, but he comes in dormant. He hides. Then he gets hungry. Oh, man, I need to eat something. He slaps you in the back of the head and says, do this. What? Do you remember that? Yeah. Next thing you know, you reacted again. He got fed and he invited another one in. Next thing you know, you have the whole family there. And you're really in trouble. Deliverance is not one-time event. It's constant. Amen. Every day. Amen. Oh, I got delivered a week ago. Then why are you in the way you are now? Because you opened the door and touched all of these things. He said, come out from among them. Don't touch what's unclean. Listen, the voice of the old man is unclean. Amen. Verse 1. Colossians 3. Come on, we're going to close here. 6 chapters, praise God. It's a long close. Verse 1, let's speak it. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your thoughts, your minds, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. In other words, acknowledge him first. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to what? Death. Put it down, man. Your members, which are on the earth. What is that? Fornication, uncleanness, passion. It's called passion for self, selfishness, or lust. Evil desire. That wraps it up. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the what? Sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to what? Everyone say, put off. All these things. Now, don't put off putting off. That's the problem. See, people take this out of context. Oh, put off. Okay, I'm going to just put it off for now. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, put it off now. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the same image of him who created. And remember, you can't put on new till you take off old. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. Therefore what? As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on what? Love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. That's an attitude of gratitude. You know, when things start happening, quit looking at what you don't have and thank God of what you have. Amen? Remember where you came from. If you remember where you came from, you become grateful. You always want to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Why? Because that's shaping Christ's character. You know, I didn't say it was going to be easy, you know, but it has a choice to it. This has got nothing to do about easy or hard. It's choice. Choice is everything. We have a free will to make that choice, and we must make it. Forgive. It doesn't matter. Amen? Verse 16, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what? Wisdom. Wisdom tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. Amen. Teaching. Everyone say teaching. Teaching. And admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In your hearts. That means you're not going to dance around somebody and, oh, la, 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 la. Hello? You're going to probably get slapped in the head. Somebody's going to think you're a granola. Now, let's be real here. There's a time to dance in corporate and worship. Yes. Man, we bring God's presence. But don't get goofy out there by yourself. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. And whatever you do in word or what or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do not forsake, assemble. Why? Brings the anointing. Because you can't get it on your own. That's why God says, don't forsake. Don't forsake. Don't forsake to get in that presence. Don't forsake, assemble, group, corporate. Abide, abide, abide. Yeah, it's all Jesus kept speaking about, abide. He who abides in me. He who abides in me. You know, you can't abide in him without getting a boost corporately. Amen? It's tough. You might have good intentions, but you know where those good ones come from. It's righteous ones that are important. Abide. It's important. Overcoming the voice of memory, the old man. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. And let the peace, joy, and righteousness of the Holy Spirit continue to flood us and flow through us. And again, we take this opportunity before communion, and we forgive everyone. Everyone say, I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
And I forgive others.
I
bless them in the name of Jesus. I hold nothing towards anyone and sever all emotional attachments with all people, places, things, and old memories.